The snowstorm that battered New England on February 8th may not have only closed roads and buried cars on Beacon Hill. According to Boston Globe State House Bureau Chief Frank Phillips, it may have also buried any chance the GOP has to retake one of the Bay State's two U.S. Senate seats following Scott Brown's loss to Elizabeth Warren last year and John Kerry's ascension to Secretary of State.
They have to have 10,000 certified voter signatures handed in to cities and town clerks. That's a huge job in the three-month period that's normally available, and it's often a good part of those months are in warmer weather, March, April, and part of May. Now in the wintertime when people are running down the street, don't want to stop for petitioners, and then we got slammed with this blizzard that shut down Boston for a couple of days and kept people in their homes. It really was a blow, particularly to the Republicans. Now there are signature gathering firms; they're going to have to, you know, use a lot of their own campaign financial resources to pay as much as $100,000 to $120,000 to go out and get these signatures. And hopefully, for their sake, these firms can get them. But it's a very hard task. It's a daunting task. I think they probably will do it, but. It's going to be a real dash to the finish line.
The deadline to collect those signatures is February 27th, now less than 2 weeks away. The winter storm only exacerbated what may be the largest challenge to Republicans in this special election, finding a candidate with enough clout and experience to win. Here's Phillips.
The political world really thought that Scott Brown, the former U.S. senator, who became a rock star a couple of years ago and still had a lot of political juice left, would be their candidate. But it became increasingly clear after Christmas there was some hesitancy there, but he didn't really let anybody know until the last moment. And that really got Republicans flat-footed because they had no real candidate alternative put up. Some of the older, better-known names, like the former governor, William Weld, former lieutenant governor, Kerry Healy, and several others who would have been very viable candidates and well-known, at least could have started out with a base, all bowed out. And so there's a state representative now who's jumped into the race. He's not very well-known outside of political circles and outside of the state house. His name is Dan Winslow, and we've got a businessman from Cohasset who's got some money. He tried to run for selectman 10 years ago and came in third in a three-way race. He's a former Navy SEAL. He's got a nice story. His parents are Colombian immigrants. But this is a very short, abbreviated campaign, and it's going to be very tough for them to get in, up and running and put on a serious effort. Now, it's not impossible but it that they could capture this seat, but it's really very much diminished.
Another question that remains is what type of support the state and national Republican Party organizations will provide candidates in a race that seems so far out of reach. Phillips says while national Democrats have already made an endorsement, Republicans appear to be waiting for an opening before formally backing a candidate.
The Democratic Senatorial Committee has already endorsed one candidate, a congressman, Ed Markey. He's being challenged by another member of his delegation, Steve Lynch. On the Republican side, they're not jumping in at this point, and I think they're going to wait and see what happens. You know, if the Democratic primary is so bitter and it's a shambles after the April 30th primary and the Democrats have really fought bitterly, they might think there's a chance here.
By Friday, there were two more names being floated as potential GOP candidates, businessman and former congressional candidate Sean Bilat and former U.S. Attorney Michael Sullivan. Phillips says that along with the shortened time frame for collecting signatures, both men also have their own unique challenges in both getting into and winning the race.
Sean Bilat decides to run. I think it would be a real uphill climb for him to get the signatures. He doesn't have the kind of volunteer army or the resources to pay for signatures, and I doubt very much he would be able to do it, and I think he'll look at that and probably won't run. He does have some name for himself, but he's a two-time loser, having run for Congress twice. It would be a tough race for him. Michael Sullivan's a lot better known than Sean Bilat. He, in the Republican political circles, he was a state representative. He was appointed a district attorney to fill a vacancy in Plymouth County, and he ran for that. He has got electoral experience, knows how to run a campaign. Then was a U.S. attorney here in Boston for 8 years, and then doubled up his last 4 years running the Bureau of Alcohol and Tobacco Firearms. So he's, he's a bigger figure. He's got political connections around the Republican counties. The last Republican strongholds in Massachusetts are in some of the counties in southeastern Massachusetts, on the Cape, in Worcester County, a little on the North Shore. They've already been out there hoping he would do this.
In a release, Sullivan, who currently practices law in Washington, said he wants to see if he can collect the 10,000 signatures using volunteers instead of paid gatherers before officially entering the race. Tim Buckley, communications director for the Massachusetts Republican Party, said that despite the storm, the candidates' signature-gathering operations are now in full swing.
Activists and volunteers across the state are already pounding the pavement for one candidate or another. Collecting the signatures is not easy, but it's not impossible. We should remember that Senator Brown collected all, I think it was maybe 20,000 certified signatures in a single weekend.
Buckley also said that regardless of who the party ends up endorsing, their candidate will be
a breath of fresh air to Massachusetts, and will be able to offer a new direction that the Democratic nominees cannot. Whoever emerges from the Republican side is going to stand in stark contrast to those two Washington, D.C. insiders.
The special election is scheduled for June 25th, with the primary set for April 30th. For WAMC News, I'm Patrick Donges.